You can turn to Revelation chapter 12. And I want to talk with you this morning about misunderstanding God. Have you ever had a misunderstanding with somebody that has caused them to dislike you? You know, if you're going to go through life, that just happens. And I'm talking about really a genuine misunderstanding, not being a snake about things and manipulate and try to cover your tracks. I'm just talking about a misunderstanding. Perhaps we say things, but that's not our heart, and you never get the chance to straighten it out. I can remember sitting at Whitehall Road and Sturger Street on my motorcycle, and I was at a red light. And I'm just waiting to make the right-hand turn on the Sturger to go to work. And bang, doesn't somebody rear-end me with a car? So at first, you know, I get pushed forward. I don't remember if there was a car in front of me. I know I didn't go down. I was thankful for that. So I'm young and full of piss and vinegar. And my kickstand is down, and my helmet is thrown on the ground in about 2 seconds, and I'm ready to fight. And I turn around, and I see this guy. This guy's got to be every bit of 85 years old, 84 years old. And he comes up to me, and he says, "I'm heartily sorry." That's not what I heard. I heard, "I'm heartily sorry." Like I should have ran your butt over. I said, "You're what?" I said, "I will kill you." "No, no, no." And he's going like this, right? As I'm getting aggressive when I'm walking towards him. And he said, "I'm heartily. And he points to his heart. And then, of course, I just stopped, recomposed myself, went around the back of my bike, looked at it. And it was not really anything worth whatever. I said, "Okay, we'll just stop, see you later," and just left. But in that moment of time, I went where I misunderstood what he said. And that he spoke properly. It was just that I was not, you know, if you got banged up and the word sounded like that, my mind just read into the situation. That's a misunderstanding. He had no malice in his heart. He wasn't happy about what he did either. I thought, you know, he was. As parents, if you love your children in this day and in this age, and you want to be spiritual parents, and you want your children to grow up to be men and women that are spiritual, what you have to do, you have to do everything in your power to censor what they watch on TV. And what they watch and engage in social media. Okay? Don't misunderstand what I said. What I said was, if you love your children and you want them to grow up to be spiritual men and women. See? That's the two portions there. I know people that will hear this and say, "Oh, I don't love my children." No, I didn't say that. What I said is, if you love your children and you want them to grow up to be spiritual men and women, you have to do everything in your power to censor what they watch on TV and social media. I've been teaching you for years that the Church of Satan meets daily, and it is presented to you by the media of the world. And, you know, one of these days that's going to get into your heart, and you're going to understand what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7, it says, "There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." So the dragon has somebody on his team. Verse 2 of chapter 20 of Revelation defines who the dragon is, so there's no doubt. "And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 2. And what you see there is that the dragon is described as Satan. He's Satan. But he's also described as the old serpent. The old serpent. So Genesis 3, verse 1, teaches us, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So what I want to teach you this morning are two main descriptions that the Bible points out about the devil. I didn't say these are the only descriptions. I'm telling you that these are two main descriptions that the Bible points out about the devil. First, that he's represented as a dragon. Second, that he's represented as a serpent. The devil has assaulted mankind throughout the years as both. As a dragon. He is represented by death, destruction, bloodshed, all resulting from war. This aspect of the devil, represented as a dragon, shows his brutality, his violence, his cruelty, and his viciousness. And this can be noted throughout history. In World War I, about 15 million military and civilian died. Unless we include the deaths from the Spanish influenza that broke out, which was a direct result of the war, which would then put the estimate to about 65 million people. Killing by hunger is now the proper term for Joseph Stalin's forced starvation genocide against the Ukraine from 1932 to 1933. Scholars have estimated about 4 to 5 million people died during this time. The borders were closed by the NKVD, the precursor to the KGB, and anyone attempting to flee to another country or back into Russian states was either shot or captured and brought back to starve. And then you have World War II. Hitler invaded Poland. Britain and France immediately declared war on Germany. Russia made a pact with Germany because Stalin knew he couldn't conquer Germany at that time. Hitler bided his time for 2 years before he invaded Russia, knowing that Russia's military was woefully inadequate. Japan invaded China and its resources, and in September of 1940, Japan, Italy, and Germany became the formal Axis power solely because they understood their identical desires to conquer other countries. Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, in retaliation for the United States embargo on oil, iron, and machinery. The United States then declared war on Japan. And there were declarations of war all around the planet. After only 6 years, 71 million people were dead. Rome, Paris, Moscow, Leningrad, London were smoldering. Dresden, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Milan were annihilated, amongst others. Not to mention that the SS carried out the murder of 6 million men, women, and children by poisonous gas, shooting, beatings, torturings, scientific experiments, and systematic starvation. On the pretense that the Aryan race was superior humans and that the Jews were no better than cattle, in which terms, the question was asked, do we feel bad when we slaughter cows for food? This is the devil represented as a dragon throughout history. He still continues to function as a dragon. He's also noted as a lion, but as his capacity to function as a lion, it's more of a personal attack, an individual attack. Beware of your adversary, the devil, who walketh about like a roaring what?
Lion.
He's tearing countless of millions around the world as a dragon, as a lion. A serpent, however, uses a different set of methods and strategies to reach its intended result. Genesis 3:1 says the serpent was more subtle. The word subtle means crafty. It means sly. It means he's ingenious. Ingenious. You're not working against or fighting against a stupid enemy or an inferior enemy. He's ingenious. The major way the devil infiltrates and infects your thoughts, your children's minds, and your home today is through the Church of Satan presented to you through the media. Hollywood, local news, TV, movies, and the world of computers. With this technology in place, in every American town, he's able to deceive and influence your worldview. Every town, he has this in place. And even if it's not in an individual home, it's in the city library where someone could go, or another place where someone can go and have access to this information if they want it. He's then able to sway your children to move the next generation the next step farther away from God. We were on vacation last week, and one of the things I wanted to do as we were on vacation is I wanted to continue to go to the gym. So Kim's particular gym honors her membership around the country, and she's allowed to bring a guest. So we were able to go to the gym 3 days a week so we could work out. Well, the gym I go to it's a weight gym. It's a bunch of grunts with a bunch of plates, and we're back in the hole, and there's no TVs, and the music they play is not good. So that's the gym I go to. But the gym she goes to is a modern gym. It's very clean. It's very bright. It has a lot of universal equipment. It doesn't have any hard bars that you can pick up. And they got TVs. And they got at least 20, maybe 30 TVs. And then on the one corner, they got this real big TV, and they got MTV playing on this TV. And I'm not a TV person. I do not watch TV. I just don't. If I watch TV, I watch a movie or a documentary on Netflix. That's what I watch because I can't stomach commercials and the junk that's on there. But I really haven't been exposed to TV in any length of time or for any depth for a really long time. But as you know, we were on vacation, you can only do so much on vacation. So sometimes at night I would watch TV, and then when we go to this gym, I have no choice. And the stuff that's on the TV today is unbelievably devilish. They had actually a satanic subtype of mass or sacrifice they were enacting on MTV as this idiot was singing this stupid song and this other idiot girl was singing along with him. And they actually had three guys dressed in black, robed hoods, with a girl dressed in white on a table, and the pentagram and a candle, and somebody standing there, and they were singing this song. And that's what they had. And I just couldn't believe that they were actually playing this in a public place. And, you know, this particular gym, Planet Fitness, has got what they call a lunk alert. Like if you grunt or if you drop a weight, they want to throw you out. Because it's offensive, right, to other people. Matter of fact, they took the scale out of my wife's one because someone made a comment about the weight of somebody. See, but this is all, but yet they present this trash, which is very offensive to me, and everybody's, and if that's not bad enough, most of the higher learning institutions in our country today are ran by Satan's clergy, teaching his doctrine to our children. And this is a judicially designed sedition to bring his will to pass in your life and in the lives of your children. Make no doubt, it's well thought through, it's in place, and it has an end result. And you have to be aware. You can't go through life with your eyes closed. And this is a major reason why God is misunderstood. Because for the most part, God has been misrepresented. One of the teachings presented to our children at a very young age is where they are introduced to the idea of diversity. Now, the word diversity means variety. It's the inclusion of different types of people as people of different races and cultures in a group or an organization. On the surface, the teaching seems to be harmless enough until they take it and they spin it to include evil and sin, as evil and sin is defined in the Bible. In Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 13, you can just listen if you don't want to turn. It says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That means that if a man has sex with another man, the way he has sex, only he's supposed to have sex with a woman, that it's an abomination, and in that day and time, they should be put to death. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord our God, thy God. So that means that if you feel feminine today and you're a man and you want to put feminine clothes on and use the woman's bathroom, God said that's an abomination, and vice versa. Wasn't it just recently in one of the track or wrestling things that a guy won that was a girl, or a girl won that was a guy? Which one was it? Well, one was supposed to be the other. They should only had boys in the event, and they should only had girls in the event, but the guy felt like a girl, or the girl felt like the guy, and it's all whacked out today. And let me say this now, that if I'm reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy, if those readings of those scriptures cause any type of agitation inside of you, it is proof enough that you have already been infected and you have already been compromised by the world and by Satan. Because God's word should not cause you to be agitated. If something's rising up inside of you that is telling you that he shouldn't go there, or this is a subject that shouldn't be taught, or this is something, you've already been compromised. I sat and had breakfast with two of our friends within the last month or 6 weeks, Kim and I, and they explained to me that they had a friend that they had, or acquaintance that they had dinner with, perhaps that week or the week before, whose pastor is a homosexual. And as soon as something was said about that, what they did immediately is that the people rose up to defend their pastor and his position. See? Because that's what good Christian people do when you teach about underdogs. Good Christian people will come to the aid of an underdog. It's in their nature. So what they've done is they spun the whole homosexual thing to make them out to be underdogs, and they are using the Christians to come alongside of them to defend them. And that's a trick in itself. Instead of defending the Bible, instead of speaking the truth, they're defending the pastor who's a homosexual. Now, that doesn't mean he's a bad person. It just means he does not deserve to be a pastor. And he is not speaking for the true God. He cannot represent the true God. That's what it means. And if that bothers you, you've been infected and contaminated and compromised too. because that's what the adversary wants. He wants to get you spun away from the truth. And when the truth is spoken, he wants the truth to be irritating to you. And I'm telling you right now, if that's the case, you got a problem. You better go back into the Word and you better screw your head down in the Word. And you can blame me and say, I piss you off and I use bad words and you don't like my mannerisms and do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, you'll stand before Jesus Christ, not me. And you explain to him why his Father's word didn't mean anything to you. And why you chose the way of the world and to defend the people of the world against the way of God and the things of God. Now, I know that's a harsh thing to say, and I know that not many have that ability to say it. Maybe some, most have a more gracious way to say it. But that's the truth. And I'm telling you straight what's going on. Under the diversity doctrine, we have now included sin as defined in God's word. And we have called it diversity. It's no longer sin. It's diversity. It's tolerance. It's all these other fanciful words. God only used three little letters to describe it. He calls it sin. They got to use 16 letters to describe it, and it's still wrong. Now you have a choice that you need to make. Who do you want to believe? If you're going to believe your college professor, he's going to tell you that God is wrong and evil and a hater. Furthermore, all who agree with God are wrong, evil, and haters, or as some call us, breeders. That's what they say we are. We're just breeders. Now the foundation has been laid for misrepresenting God. Now let me show you how this plays out in real life. You have a person you come across who has been taught the doctrine of diversity and shares this worldview and agrees with it. You're discussing an issue, say homosexuality is the issue, and both of you share your thoughts. At this point, it's just a discussion, and you're just engaged in conversation. The premeditated seed planted by the college professor or the good-hearted teacher, but unaware, will result in an answer like this from the person that you're talking to. How can you love a God like that? If you share God's word with them and you're straight as I was with you, or you read them Romans, their answer will be, how can you love a God like that? They'll say something like, that's not a loving God. That sounds more like someone who's a hater. See? They may say something like, I don't care. Who would want a God like that? How about this? If God's going to send me to hell for being a loving, kind, diverse person, then let him do it. I don't want that kind of God. Now watch how God is misrepresented and God is misunderstood. First of all, God never teaches us to hate a homosexual. He teaches us to love everybody, including homosexuals. God loves the homosexual just as much as he loves the adulteress, the adulterer. He loves the homosexual just as much as he loves the drug addict, as much as he loves the alcoholic, as much as he loves all that sin. God doesn't like what they're doing and how they're living their life, and he defines that as wrong in his word, see? But man doesn't think it's wrong. But God will immediately be accused of being unloving. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 16, the English Standard Version reads, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is love. That's what the Bible declares of God. The response that someone told me one day in my office went along these lines, along this conversation. If God's going to send me to hell for being a loving, kind, diverse person, then let him do it. I don't want any parts of a God like that. That's what they said to me. Look at John chapter 3, please. But you see, as wonderful and as compassionate and as brave as that sounds, it's a lie. And it's spun. And you know who spun it The people who spun it were a lot more intelligent than the people just repeating it. The people who spun it are good at spinning things. You understand? And then people hear it, and it sounds benevolent, but it's not. It's not. John 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth not," verse 18, "is condemned already." The Greek word that's translated "already" means now, means now. What verse 18 is telling you is that mankind, all of mankind, when born, are born in a pre-existing state of condemnation. God does not have the authority, the right, or the ability to send anyone to hell, so to speak, in this administration. You are already going to hell as soon as you take your first breath. Do you understand? That's what it's saying. But that's not what that guy told me. What he told me, he spun it and made it look like God was the enemy and that God was going to send people to hell for being good, benevolent, and loving. See it? The truth of the matter is, God's not the enemy. God was intervening in the affairs of mankind to pull him from a drowning pool of sin that he was born in. Now, that's a completely different story than "you're going to send me to hell," isn't it? Yep. The truth of the matter is, you're actually saving me from what? Hell. But you see how they spun it? And he spun it. And he shot it back to me. Because he thought that in his infinite wisdom, he was going to shut me up. But I had taken the time to study the Word of God. So I knew how to answer. That's why I'm taking the time to teach you. Because a lot of things will sound real good. And they'll make it look like you're the bad guy. But you're not the bad guy. How can anything that God ever does be bad? You may not understand it and you may not have the answers, because at that given moment in time, you don't have the ability to think it through like a computer. But all you have to remember is this: God is good always. Always. God is love always. And if God said a man shouldn't sleep with a man, there's a good reason for it. And he knows best. If God said a man shouldn't dress like a woman, there's a good reason for it. And he knows best. You understand? But they're going to tell you, and they're going to come at you, and they're going to play the pity card and the sorrow card. And you know what good Christian people do without even being told to, because it's in their DNA? They protect the underdog. So they're going to flock to the underdog and want to protect them without even thinking. And all they're doing is being manipulated by the adversary. Because the adversary sits back and says, "Watch how I get these Christians to protect sin." That's what they do. And the people involved don't even know that they're being manipulated and used by the devil. He uses the Christians to protect his doctrine that he's teaching. Now that's a pretty good trick, isn't it? Verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now that's the truth of the matter. When you're faced with any of these things that contradict God's word, darkness has come into the world. Well, where do you think that darkness got its origin from? Satan, right? And it says darkness came into the world. It's one thing for darkness to come into the world, but it's another thing for when the world comes into you. Remember, Lot moved to Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Sodom and Gomorrah got into Lot. You can't go through the world unscathed. You have to understand what's going on. You have to understand that the media, social media, TV, and all the other things involved is the church that Satan presents his gospel from. You have to understand that. There is no one news station that is exempt. I don't care. Fox 29 isn't your redeemer. It's not. Now, they present whatever, and I'm glad that they do whatever, but I can take you to there and show you just as much garbage as I can anywhere else. And if you spend time watching that junk, you're going to get that junk in your mind, and you're not going to be able to think straight, you're not going to be able to act straight, and you're not going to be able to do the will of God. Because all of those systems of the world are designed to talk you out of the Word of God, no matter how benevolent it is. Why is that? Because in this day and time in America, the devil is attacking America as the serpent. You understand? The time of the dragon is over. But I got news for you. The day of the dragon is coming in the future, too. It's coming back. But he had to switch it up. He is now attacking America and many other civilized countries as a serpent. And as a serpent, he's got to be crafty, ingenious, sly. You understand? That's the way he's working today. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now, who's the hater? Ha ha! You see it? It's a complete spin. Who's the hater? And God says it, not me. Everyone that does evil, what? Hateth the light. You're not the hater. Don't let them put on you who they are. Do you understand? And only the Word of God is going to reveal the truth. You are the one who loves. God is the one who loves. God is the one who saves. He doesn't send people to hell. And they are the ones that hate. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Now you know as well as I do that if you're a crook and you're doing something, you don't want to get near nobody that's going to be able to do an investigation on you and expose you for what you are. So you have to formulate some sort of defense. And that's exactly what they're adept at. But, verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in what? In God. You have nothing to be concerned about. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be embarrassed of. You didn't do anything wrong. And how can speaking the Word of God be wrong? They want to intimidate you. You know, we were sitting somewhere the other night. Last week, having lunch, I think it was, or dinner. And the girl said, oh, these people behind us are probably going to throw us out. And I said, good, let them throw us out. Because we were talking about this subject. Because that thought has already been planted. You understand? Because that's what the newspapers promote. That's what this... Look how many guys... I mean, this is ridiculous. They lose their positions because they say something off-colored according to the world, right? Look at all this crap going on with the national football team. They don't want to stand for the flag. Trump is right. If they don't stand for the flag, they shouldn't be allowed to play. They shouldn't be allowed to enjoy the freedoms of this country and the men who died for this country and gave their lives for this country. And they can't stand for that. They're not standing for him. They're standing for the country. There's no more patriotism in this country taught. There's anarchy in this country taught. And you know, unless you're in the service and you are in that position, it won't really gel for you. Because of the bonds that you make and the people that you see, they lose their lives. You just can't understand it. You can appreciate maybe what I'm saying, but it won't gel for you. And for somebody who makes $2, $3, $5 million, $10 million a year, to thumb their nose at the flag. And you know what's worse than that? The people of America allow it to go on. It's not Trump. It's not the National Football Association. You know who it is? The people of America. Because if the people of America said no, you know what, 1940, 1950, how many football games do you think would continue to play if they tried that crap then? You know what they would did back then? They would have lynched those idiots. Seriously, what has happened? You know what has happened? The Church of Satan. The Church of Satan has brought these idiots, made heroes out of them, raised them up so that our young people can look at them, so they can emulate them, so they can praise them. They have promoted all of this stuff. How do you think that got promoted? Through the media. People watch it. People, for the most part today, I want to say about 75% of America are probably brain dead. If they had to pick up a dictionary and look up a word for themselves, they wouldn't know where to start. You know what they do? They go to Google. And whatever Google says, they believe. You know that's true. Nobody does research anymore. Nobody checks it out for themselves anymore. People are brain dead. They're fed a bunch of lies by the clergy of Satan on the news channels and on this different women's shows. That's another thing that I got exposed to. Because I never see it because I work The View. Okay? They got five women. I got nothing against women. I got a wonderful wife. Without, I could do nothing. Okay? So let's settle that. They got five women that I saw, idiots, that know nothing about life, just spewing out Satan's lies, Satan's doctrine. And you know what? For the most part, women and feminine men do that get to watch that stuff. They sit there and they're enraptured in what's coming out. And they actually believe that that junk that's pouring out of those women's mouth is the truth. And that's what they should base their life on and live. It's trash, man. It's trash. And nobody knows. For the most part, they don't understand that that's the devil. That's his church, and that's his ministers. And they are actively involved in receiving the devil's catechism. That's what's going on. And I'm telling you straight, that's what's going on. It's a tragedy that God and the Lord Jesus Christ are misrepresented even by the professing Christian church. I know that the media is going to misrepresent them. But even the professing Christian church misrepresents them. 2 weeks ago, I taught you about faith. I taught you that at some point your faith will be tested. We went through it in detail. The reason I had so much difficulty understanding this concept about faith being tested was because of the predominant religious teaching on the subject of faith being tested. There are some who would have you believe that God is the one who tests your faith. And that's why I stayed away from it so long, because it was distasteful to me and it made no sense. But when I was able to separate it, then I saw the half-truth in it. God may allow you to be part of His will if you're working for Him and walking in His Word, which may result in the testing of your faith. But the test is not from God. The test is not from God. Why would God enable and commission you to do something for Him and then run up 10 steps, hide around the corner, waiting to trip you or put a stumbling block in front of you? Would not this be the work of a psychopath? For instance, I give my wife $20. I say, honey, could you go pick up the pizza for our dinner? And then I secretly leave and go up to the intersection of Egypt Road and Park Avenue with my rollback. And as I see her approaching the intersection, I run the red light and floor it so I can T-bone her, right? Why would I do that? Just because I want to see if her driving skills that I paid for, if she learned anything. And so let's say she avoids my rollback. And she gets to the pizzeria, which is Tony's right around the corner. And I hire a gang of motorcycle thugs to stand outside to rob her on the way in. Because I want to test her to see if those taekwondo lessons I paid for, she was paying attention. Does that make sense? Doesn't, does it? Well, why do we ascribe to God that kind of lunacy then? Does God know everything? Romans 12:3 says that He's given you a measure of faith, right? If God knows everything, y'all just said that. Do you think He knows whether the faith that He gave you will work or not? Do you think He has to test it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Or what man is there of you who, if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, he'll give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask Him?" See? God's not going to give you something that doesn't work. He's not going to give you something that needs to be tested in the field, whether this works or not. Go ahead, try the sound, and if it doesn't work, come back. We'll do some alterations on it. He does. He's not that kind of a God. You understand? Malachi 3:6a says, "For I am the Lord, I change what?" No. So he's consistent all the way through. God is consistent. Do you think that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, the Christ?
Yes.
You agree with that? Do you believe that he always did his Father's will? Do you believe that he was our complete Savior? Did he miss anything in his ministry for the Father?
No.
Right? He said it's what? Finished? Hebrews 12:2a says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, if he authored and finished our faith, do you think it works? Do you think it needs to be tested when he said it's finished? Your faith will be tested, but it's not God who's testing your faith. You know who's going to lay at the corner with a truck to try and T-bone you so I don't get my pizza? The devil. That's a bad thing to do. Right? You know who's going to put the thugs outside of the pizzeria so I starve? The devil. Right?
Right.
Not God. God doesn't test your faith. God gave you faith so you could overcome. Jesus is the author of that faith. He's the finisher of it. You know what it means when you're finished? This is what it means when you're finished. Your bill is $2,800. That's what it means. That means that everything I had to do to fix that car is done. Now you got to pay. That's what it means. Jesus finished everything. He gave his life, and when it was completely, absolutely complete, which is the next verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse, or chapter 2, verse 10, it says, you are complete in him. So if you're complete in him, is there anything lacking?
No.
No. That's another way that God is misrepresented and misunderstood in the church. Because there's a lot of people that teach that God will test your faith so that he can bring out the best in you. Okay? That God will test your faith and make you sick to purge you. These are actual teachings. God gave me this sickness to humble me. Whether you believe it or not, they're actual Christian teachings. God took so-and-so away from me, killed so-and-so, to teach me patience, or to teach me how to overcome. He's testing my faith. So what they're doing is they're ascribing to God evil and these things, which God doesn't do at all. You know who took so-and-so away? The devil, or old age. See? You know who got that sickness on you, your body, or genetics, or the devil? It wasn't God. And yet out of the same mouth, when they confess that this is God doing this, they turn around and they pray to God to take it away. It makes no sense. So understanding that the devil attacks in two major ways helps us understand how to defeat him. Either as a dragon up front in your face with death and destruction, or as a serpent, harmless and benevolent, he still has one goal, and that's to get rid of God's word in our lives. We saw the major way he infects and infiltrates our lives, our homes, and our children is through the media, his church. We saw how he prepares our children at a very young age to accept his perverted and deceptive doctrines. And how important it is for us to nurture and raise our children in God's word. And if you don't, the devil will be happy to raise them for you and teach them his catechism. And we were at dinner one night, and you know what was, it was a, she had a phone. The kid couldn't have been no more than, what, 6 months? It was a puppy. And they got this phone on the table. They're eating dinner, and the phone's playing cartoons or whatever, whatever, and that's how they're entertaining the child. And that's what most parents do. Most parents take their children, sit them in front of a TV, turn on Sesame Street or whatever else they think is good, and they walk away. And those kids will sit there glued to that TV, being indoctrinated hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year. And then one day the parents wonder why this happened. Because they don't want to be involved in the children's life anymore. They don't want to take the responsibility to be parents. They just want to put them in front of the TV and let the TV raise them. You know, I die. I don't know how many more people are going to teach you this. Unless some people rise up and have some common sense and study God's word. If you're going to have kids, you got to raise those children according to the word. Don't have children if you're not going to raise them according to the word. And it's not easy to raise them according to the word, because 95% of the children around them are going to be doing stuff stupid. And they're going to want to be doing stuff stupid because of all the peer pressure. You got to be ingenious in your thoughts and your methods of how to help them and replace those things. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm telling you it's hard, but it can be done. And the point is this: you do your best and God will cover the rest. There's no perfection in parenting. Everybody who had kids knows that. They're going to do what they damn well please at the end of the day, but you do your best. We saw how important it is for us to nurture them in the word. We saw that we need to be aware of the adversary's methods and schemes so we can fight the good fight of faith. We have a loving, compassionate Father, and we have a gracious and forgiving Lord who gave his life for us freely. Don't ever let anybody tell you different. God is not a hater. He's not unloving. That's not true. People need to know the truth so they can make an informed decision. Their decisions are based on half-spun lies, but their decisions should come from the mouth of God that's recorded in the words of the book. Our God is not unloving or intolerant. He's all-knowing and all-loving. And the kingdom that he has prepared for us will take us ages to realize. He sends nobody to hell in this day and time. He only saves. He saves them from their pre-existing nationality of hell. You got that? He saves them from their pre-existing nationality of hell. People say, "What are you?" I'm Italian. I'm Irish. I'm Polish. What are you? I'm hell.
Hellish.
God will only be understood when you decide to speak the truth to someone in love. We love people, and that's why we stand on the word, and we need to speak the truth. So don't let the world intimidate you, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Sure you can, honey.
In following your teaching and the impact that it has in reverence and truth is the state. It's the state. You have MSN, CNN, and all of the medias.
All the different
that
churches.
State run programs. You have Hollywood. They are state run facilities. You then have education. State run education. And I can prove that because the word you use, diversity, is being brought into kindergarten.
Yeah, I know.
And in transvestites under the name of diversity.
Yeah.
So they have these men coming in, dressed to the nines, teaching our five-year-olds, this is the way to go, brothers. And then we have our church, and I'm almost ending there. There we have our church. We have our 503Cs, state-run churches. That's how these people can get on the pulpit and say,
You're right, because the politicians...
One more, and then I'll add...
No, go ahead.
One more, because this is where I just want to tie it up. I hate loose ends. One more, and that is the people that promote this stuff. Your average, everyday Jane and Joe. The people that promote this stuff will say, I don't believe in God. I'm superior. I don't believe in God. All right? What they have done is they've replaced God with the state. The state is their God.
Yeah, or themselves.
The state. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
And that's my take on this whole thing. Because I will run with things. But if you think MSM is just the news, you've missed the boat.
Yeah. But remember this, is what she's saying is... all correct, but at the base of it all is not the state. At the base of it all is Satan.
Okay, here's the end. Here's the end of it all. The people that are saying this, the people that are saying this don't know God. That's the final line. And that's where I can agree.
They misunderstand. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They don't know God.
All right, go ahead.
So we should have people.
Yes, we should.
They're not following.
That's why you speak the truth and let them make an informed decision. Give them a chance.
132, please.
Thank you, Leslie.